Hey, Sister Amin.
Uh-huh.
We're sitting at a picnic table here, working online, ready to do our edification audio.
Uh-huh,
are you ready?
I am.
You are?
I am, yeah.
You have some good points to bring today?
I think so. A few thoughts.
We hope that everybody's doing good. We're doing really good. We had a busy day, good day, and we just want to bring you some points and some thoughts to edify you and encourage you in Scripture. What's your thoughts about today, Sister Amin? I'm going to let you lead the way.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you share what's on your heart.
Well, what I'll do
is... I'll let you go first. I'll go last.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll just start off by sharing my witness walk.
Awesome.
You were talking to brothers on the phone. We were parked in a parking lot this morning. Well, wait. Do you want to talk about a perfect timing getting to the parking lot?
Yeah, I had one point about being spirit-led. We pulled up to a store... And we're going to go in, and they have a huge parking lot. And I don't like parking up close to a bunch of cars and stuff. I just never have, even with a little car or anything. I like staying way far away, and I walk out. And with the gospel van, I like to give us more room. I don't know, for some reason today, I just drove way up towards the front of the parking lot, and I pulled up and I parked right there. And all of a sudden, one of the brothers comes walking up, and their car was like maybe 50 feet from our van. I didn't see him. And a brother needed some help.
Yeah, he was struggling
in this flesh a little bit, and he needed some help, and it was like the Lord put us right there, because if we would have parked where I normally do, they never would have seen us.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't have seen them either, yeah.
So I think it's a good example of I got the idea of pulling up there, I just got a thought, and I believe the Holy Spirit gives us things and leads us.
He does.
And so I just said, I'm going to go pull up and park right here. Was right where they bring out all the food for people to pick up on their online orders.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother was there, and he kind of marveled and said, how did you know to come here? And I said, I don't know. We were just coming to the store, and I felt like I should park here. So,
to God be the glory.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Yeah, so we pulled up to the store, and what happened, Sister Amin?
Well, I was just going to say, so we were pulled up there. You ended up getting on the phone after I got out of the store, giving out gospel cards inside that store. And I thought, you know what? There was a store down the road I wanted to hit, and I thought there was a destination of another store. So it was less than 2 miles away, straight along the way, busy place where it's good to walk. And so while Brother Tupos was on the phone, I was on the phone with some brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a witness walk, and I just thought I would share just on one simple walk, the gospel that went out.
Nice.
So the store got it before I left, and then. On the way out of the store, I gave one to the greeter who was really thankful. And then I popped into a store and an Amish woman was there. So I went over there and I gave her a gospel card and talked to her for a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah. And then a cashier at the other store. And then there was a woman standing in the parking lot. I don't know if she was waiting for somebody or what, but I just kind of casually just walked straight past her diagonal from the parking lot. I saw her standing there, so I went to go by, and I gave her a gospel card, and she thanked me. And there were two men at a bus stop, gave them each one, and they were sitting there reading it. And then at the last store, there was two store workers I gave one to, and then I was outside... Brother Tupo said he was on the way, so I was sitting outside, and I looked a little ways down, and I saw an older woman sitting down on a stack of firewood that they sell. And so I went over there, and she looked like she was waiting for somebody, but I thought a good door opener would be to ask her if she needed some help, if she was
resting. I thought she was homeless, no?
Huh?
No, okay.
No, she had a cart. She was waiting for somebody.
Oh, gotcha.
And so I asked her, are you okay? Are you just taking a rest or something? And she said, oh, I'm just waiting for somebody. And so I gave her a gospel card, and we had a pretty good conversation. So,
nice.
Yeah, that was... I was just kind of like rejoicing about that. And then we got here to the park, and I was talking to sisters, and I was walking a little bit, and then I was sitting there, and I was able to witness to a woman who had, what do you call that?
Neck brace.
I couldn't think of the word brace on her neck. So that was awesome. Just a simple, casual day of giving out the gospel and letting the Lord do what he does with what the people do with it, I guess. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That was really encouraging.
I got to witness to a young guy. I was on the phone most of the day and working online, but I got to witness to a young guy that was grabbing carts at a store, and he said, oh, I'm a believer. And I gave him a gospel card, and I explained to him how the churches aren't calling you out of the world. They're not teaching a real biblical gospel. And I invited him to go to the 10-point test on our website, and he said, okay, I'll look into that. So he was pretty young, and he was probably maybe 18, and he looked pretty thankful that I had told him that. So
nice.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, you did good on your witness walk, Sister Amin.
To the glory of God, not me. But, yeah.
I got to say that we have to rejoice. Yesterday we had to do some hard things and talk with a saint, and this young saint overcame the flesh and they're back on the road, I would say better than ever, confessing some things they needed to work on. Not huge, weighty sins, but definitely things that would grieve the Holy Spirit that they could rise up and do better at. And so we're just rejoicing that they're back in the fold and they're getting edification, accountability, counsel in God's Word. So that's a glorious thing.
Oh, it is. And I was just thinking about that. I was talking to her today, and I asked her, I said, the difference from several days ago to today, after you've gotten through all that and put a lot of things down, I said, what would be the difference, you know, like in witnessing and stuff? And she said, she has zeal and joy. She's got like a drive to do it now. It's like,
that gives you strength.
Sometimes, so think about that, sisters. If your flesh is in the way, you can't always see it. It's like there's a gate or a fence in front of you, and you just can't get past it till you put everything down.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you are, the Lord will give you what you need to go, and you'll just keep on growing.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings me to another simple topic I was going to share.
Go for it.
I'm just calling it thriving and striving. You know, and being content in our situation and zealously doing our best work that in the ministry that the Lord has for us, and not grudgingly, but thriving in it and striving hard in it.
Yeah, and do it joyfully.
Yeah, and then He's going to give us more as we go. And we don't know what each day brings. We just got to be faithful in each one and thankful for all He's done. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I was thinking today, I think I heard somebody, a blurb about atheists, and I was thinking today about an atheist argument. I don't know, I posted this in our edification room. We have an edification room for all the men, and the sisters get to look in, and then the sisters have a place, and the men get to look in, so it's kind of neat. We can kind of cross-see each other's life. But in the edification room, I put this in there, and I did like a little conversation, and it was just interesting to me. So atheists will tell Christians, you're such a fool for believing in what you can't see or prove. And then the atheist says, everything came from nothing, and we die, we just go to nothing. And then I was thinking about how the Christian can say to the atheist, well, we believe God created everything, and when we die, we go to be with Him via the gospel, or we're judged and sent away from Him in outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the atheist says, oh, that's so foolish, believing in what you can't see and prove. And then the Christian says to the atheist, how do you prove nothing?
Exactly.
How do you see nothing?
Yep.
And then when you die, do you go back to your master, your creator, which is nothing?
It makes absolutely no
sense. And usually the atheist just goes, oh, I can't reason with you, and they just turn around and walk away. So we're foolish for believing in God and we can't physically see Him, but they're wise for believing in nothing that they can't see.
Oh, I know, the foolishness of man.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that. I thought that was crazy. In the Bible, it talks about, in Psalms, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty foolish.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think about how foolish it is. Like, we'll be out on the streets and an atheist will come by and get, like, angry. Like, they got to fight against this
God. They got to stop us.
That they don't even believe in.
Right.
So if they don't even believe there's one, why do they care what we do?
Yeah.
It's in their conscience.
It is. Yeah, it's in their conscience.
A lot of them are,
and I ask them,
too.
I go, if we're wrong and there is nothing after death, what do you care? And they say, you're deceiving people. And I'm like, why does it matter?
Who cares? What's it matter?
Why does it matter? We're all going to nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any logical sense. It is their conscience that weighs on them.
They
hate the truth because it goes against their foolishness.
Yeah.
So that's something to think
about.
Makes
them look even more foolish.
Yeah. We were on a phone call with a brother all the way from South Africa. It's awesome. He jumps on in the middle of the day because he's like 8 hours ahead of us. And we were talking about overcoming the flesh, and that other young brother jumped on. And this older brother, he's closer to my age. He's over 50. I call him and I are the gray beards.
Oh, yeah.
He was saying how he overcomes his flesh is, he said, he gets alone, he reads the scriptures, he prays, he thinks about the gospel and what Christ did for him. And he said he finds that in just a very short amount of time, soothes him, brings him back to his senses, his spiritual senses, takes him away from whether he's worrying about taxes or business or the flesh or the world. And it centers him really good. So we had a good talk about overcoming the flesh. The Bible says, don't walk in the flesh and you won't fulfill the lust of it, but walk in the spirit.
Amen.
So we kind of talked about that. So that was pretty good.
I was thinking about that same brother.
Yeah.
He's bringing up some good points about Bible translations.
Oh, yeah.
and how they're leaving out the words and twisting it.
Yeah, he's a real good detail guy. So he likes to look at stuff and he ruminates on it for a long time. And I chews on it like that's what that word ruminate is, like a cow. Cow has like four stomachs. And so do sheep, and so do deer. And they'll go out and they'll graze, and they'll eat a whole bunch of grass, and then they lay down in the shade somewhere, and it sounds gross, but they spit it back up out of one stomach, and they re-chew it. And then they put it back in another stomach, so they, like, ruminate.
Uh-huh.
And so he likes to pull up God's word and just chew on it and think about it and look at it. And then he re-brings it up again. And so, yeah, he does a good job at that.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
It's awesome about how the body of Christ works, because you can read the scriptures, and the sisters will probably agree, you read the scriptures and you see it, but when somebody else reads it and brings like a different view to it or a depth or something, it's pretty awesome.
And then today we were also on the same phone call talking about that same man was saying he got stumbled when he wasn't able to remember chapter and verses, but he could remember the concepts. And I told him, I said, I'm going to do a teaching on that. I'm not sure I think I might have a teaching in another teaching.
Yeah.
But I don't know if everybody knows this or not. But chapter and verses, you never heard Jesus quote a chapter and verse, or Paul, did you? Nope. You know why? Chapter and verse theology, or the adding of it to God's word, only came along, I think, about 500 years ago. It was added by the evangelicals. And I'm going to do a teaching on that. And so all before that, thousands of years before that, nobody could say John 3:3. They would say, it is written in the book of John, thou shalt be born from above. And so this idea of chapter and verses, and I made the comment, I think Satan might have put it into God's word to stumble people to be focusing more on chapter and verses than on the truth of the word.
Oh, I'll agree on that, because I remember when I was new in the faith and I was trying to memorize it, I got stumbled on the chapters and verses. And I knew all the concepts of it. And I remember sitting there thinking, hey, wait a minute. I don't think Apostle Paul was writing different chapters and verses on it. And boy, I got really mad. I was like, it felt like deception to me, because I know the concepts of it. But I thought you had to sit there and memorize it all. And once I let go of that, it was like no problem whatsoever.
It can be helpful to find some truth. But I was telling the brothers, if you go out in the street and you're preaching and you say, you must be born from above, and somebody has eyes to see and ears to hear, and they come and talk to you and they go, wow, I'm really pricked by the truth you're teaching. My conscience has been pricked. Tell me more. You can lead them to and find John 3:3-4. You can find Romans 12:4. You can find all the truth that they want, and they'll be willing to sit at a table while you cook the food, if they're hungry, while you go to the Bible and get it. If you need help, we'll help you. So it's not like you need John 3:3, you must be born again. If they don't have ears to hear and eyes to see, that John 3:3 isn't going to help them.
Yeah, and I was thinking about all these people that we've come across in our ministry. I remember many phone calls where it sounded like a computer on the other end of somebody reciting almost word for word, word for word. You're having a discussion with them, and they knew what scriptures to bring up, but their life was a disaster.
Do you remember I told the brothers about the lady, Susan was her first name? We won't give you her last name. She's a false teacher. Her husband and her false teachers.
I emailed her,
Sister Amin, many years ago, emailed her about their evangelical Calvinist ways, and she was proudly saying, I have 27 chapters of the Bible memorized, but she clearly doesn't follow any of it because she's worldly, carnal, pagan holidays, feminized, false gospel.
Yep.
So memorizing scripture and knowing chapter and verses is pretty meaningless unless you understand the truth and the concepts and the theology and the depth of God's word.
Right.
So we talked about that.
And we can have a depth of it and a knowledge of it without knowing it exactly word for word.
I'm going to do a teaching on that about chapters and verses.
I love that.
I'm working on a teaching right now called A Little Why and a Lot of What.
Yeah.
And real quick, my concept is, people spend a lot of time on why do I sin? What made me do, or why did I do that? Why about my sin? Why do I keep falling into that? And my concept is, the Bible spends hardly any time on why we sin, other than we're in our flesh, we're fallen man, all of those type of things, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It spends very little time on the why, but it spends a whole bunch of time on the what, like this. Ready? David, what did you do with Bathsheba and her husband, the Hittite? Oh, and then what must you do to recover from it? So the why should be a little part, and it's really because our culture is so into psychology. I got to figure out in my heart and reach deep inside me and find out why, rather than what did I do and what must I do to recover from it. That's what God focuses on. And that's what the Word of God focuses on. A little bit of why and a whole lot of what. Does that make sense, Sister Drummond?
Oh, definitely. I like to look at, if I do something, I like to look at maybe, if I can, why I did it in order to make sure I don't do it again, but then get up and get going from
it. Yeah, you spend a little bit of time on that, and then what you're going to find out is, why was I selfish? You're falling in your flesh. Why was I prideful? You fell in your flesh. Why was I lusting for money or whatever, anything else? You fell in your flesh. Why was I angry? I fell in my flesh. It all comes down to, we're in our flesh, so we don't have to spend a lot of time saying why. We have to say, what did I do? What do I need to repent of? And what must I do to recover from it?
Amen.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what that teaching is going to be about. And then I guess the other point I had was I just wanted to talk about how I think it's kind of neat. We're getting our van ready. We're here in central Missouri hanging out with these two brothers. We're waiting for a young couple to come down with their children, and they're going to be traveling with us preaching the gospel full-time for 6 months. That's going to be exciting. And I'm working on my van. I got to put some shocks on it, our gospel wagon. And
shocks? Yay!
Yeah, we're going to put some new shocks on it. And I'm working on it because the weather's been really good. And, man, the weather's like 60, 70 degrees in November.
This is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm sitting out here with no jacket or nothing. We're out in a park. And I think it's kind of neat. I'm working on my van, and this young brother's up in Canada. He's working on his van. And every day he's giving us a report of what he's getting ready. And his wife, what's she getting ready to do, Sister Amin?
Well, right now she's kind of downsizing, minimizing her house. And I know her mind is set on how it's going to work in the van life. You know, just one day at a time, she's using up things in the kitchen and sorting, organizing, selling, throwing. All kinds of that we had to go through. We had to go through that a couple times with us. So,
I think it's funny. They have a young lady saint staying with them, and they sold the bed out from underneath her, and now, not the mattress, and now she has to sleep on the mattress on the floor as they're, because she's getting ready to go back. She has to go back to her home country, and she has to sleep on the mattress on the floor, and I like that. Everybody learns to be flexible. Everybody learns you can't always have it your own way.
Right.
And a lot of people in the world don't even have it that good.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of neat that they're kind of doing what we're doing. We're already in van life, and they're getting ready to take that step. So they're going to go into van life full time. They're going to travel with us 6 months out of the year. Who knows? It might be longer than that, because we might actually go back up north if the Lord wills. We might end up spending some time up in Canada doing some preaching up there when they go back. So we might be like Acts 2 on wheels.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
If the Lord gives us those days.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. So are you looking forward to that, Sister Amin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Awesome. It'll be interesting and good. Yeah.
Anything else from you today, Sister Amin? Those were kind of my main points I wanted to talk about today. We're going to have a gathering tonight. We're going to bring some teachings and edify each other. But what say you?
Well, I have
anything
a question.
Else? You have a question? Wait, let me see. How much are questions today? Oh, they're always free.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm ready.
Can I get two for the same price?
Two for the price of one.
No, I just have one.
Two for the price of one. Yeah, I'm ready.
You know what? As I wrote this, I was like, maybe I already asked you this one time.
Wait, I'm going to ask you what I ask people in the street. What do I always ask people in the street? Is this a mocker's question?
I'm not even going to answer that.
Go for it.
Because I know you know the answer.
All right.
I don't know.
I'm just practicing for when we go out in the street.
For what?
Asking people if that's a mocker's question.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to practice. We get enough of that.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
All right. Can
I'm
we
ready.
Go now? You ready?
I'm ready.
You sure?
I'm rubbing my hands together, and I'm ready.
Okay. So maybe I asked you this once before, but it doesn't matter. Maybe you'll have a different answer. It's a simple, fun one.
It better be a truthful answer.
The first one that comes to mind for you, whatever pops in your head, just for a witnessing situation, so I'm getting you on that, so think about this. Is going to be...
Witnessing situation.
The first witnessing situation that pops in your mind when I say the most unusual person or situation. Does something pop in your mind?
The most unusual person or situation. Yeah, one pops in my mind. We're in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, in grizzly bear country, and we can't camp in van dwelling life outside of any campgrounds. We had to drive way out into the national forest and find this little dirt road to pull off on, because we were preaching at Jackson Hole, a tourist town there. So we're like way far out in the middle of nowhere. There's signs warning about grizzly bears all over. We're out in rancher country, and we go there, and there's like three or four other cars there camped, and we see this young couple setting up a little pup tent. And the guy walked by me a couple times, and I said, hey, I just want to let you know. I said, you know we're in grizzly bear country, right? And he goes, what was that? And he started talking to me. And he was a dark-skinned man, kind of like an Indian man, Hindu Indian man. Turns out he was a Hindu.
Yeah.
And I got to witness to a man that was a Hindu in the middle of the wilderness in grizzly bear country while I was just warning him about his tent. I'm like, be careful, it's grizzly bear country. They do come around. I wouldn't have any food or nothing in your tent. And I witnessed to him for about 20 minutes, and I think the gospel kind of stumped him, and he said,
yep,
I got to think about that, who Jesus was. Because they think Jesus was just a great prophet, but I said, he said he was God. And if he's God and he said he's the only way, he's a lunatic or liar. And he said, I got to think about that. Or he's Lord.
Yeah.
And so that was one that sticks out in my head. And he was very nice. He was a young man.
Oh, he was.
Very nice, very gracious. And I thought it was awesome. When he went back to his tent, I said, I tell you what. I said, if you have a grizzly bear come around, I said, you scream and yell real loud. I said, I'll come out and run him off for you. And he goes, thank you very much. And they went back into their tent. And I think they did sleep there. Pretty brave. I wouldn't sleep in a tent in grizzly bear country.
That's not wise.
No.
Yeah.
They should have slept in their car. They had a car there. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the most unusual.
I liked it because I forgot about that one.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is one of my favorites. I was thinking of, here's one. We Uh-oh. Can share one more.
Okay.
The clothing dumpster.
The clothing dumpster. You guys.
It was at night.
You saints know about these metal boxes they have with a door, and you can open the door and drop your clothing in and donate it?
It's kind of like a resemblance of a
mailbox
slot.
But it's big.
It slides in. Yeah, it's
real like,
big.
It's like a foot by 2 feet. And I could barely fit through one, but some guy that's really small and skinny could fit through one if he's got small shoulders up. Anyway. I was going for a walk one night, and all of a sudden I saw this door flapping, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I walked up, there's a guy inside the clothing dumpster. And I walked up and I said, are you okay in there? And he flipped the door open. And he goes, yeah, man, I'm fine. And I said, what are you doing there? And he goes, I'm just looking for some stuff. And he was throwing stuff out. It was kind of bad. He was throwing stuff out looking for clothing. And but I witnessed to him, and I reached the gospel, and I said, well, hey, I want to give you the gospel. He's like, all right, man. Hey, cool. Thanks a lot. So I witnessed to a guy that was inside a clothing dumpster. And that was probably one. Yeah, that was an unusual one, too. He thanked me and everything.
Can I do one more?
Oh, one more. Okay.
You got to help me out because I was trying to think of who this was. What's the name? Okay, I'm not going to give it to you. You're gonna figure it out. Billings, Montana, in the parking lot, great big humongous RV, and it was a clown.
Oh, yeah, Gizmo the Clown.
I couldn't remember his name.
Gizmo
yeah.
the Clown, driving a big $500,000 RV bus, and he had Gizmo the Clown, and he had some Bible verses, and I looked him up on the internet, and this guy goes and dresses up like a clown at rodeos, and he does magic, and he does all kinds of foolish things, and then he tells people at the end that God loves you, and if you'll just accept Jesus, you can go to heaven. So I emailed him and then ended up calling him, and he didn't really want to talk to me other than, yeah, just believe in Jesus and find a good church. And so the next day, he was still there, and I said to Sister Amen, oh, I got to go talk to Gizmo the Clown. And so I saw him come out of his motorhome, and then I walked up to him, and he went back in the motorhome, and he had his window open. So I'm standing by his motorhome, and he's like, it's 8 feet tall. He's up in the window. And I'm like, Gizmo, would you like to talk to me? I'm the guy the street preacher was talking to last night. He's like, no, I got to get going. I don't have time to talk. I said, you don't have time to talk about the gospel, Gizmo? And I was standing there peacefully talking to him through his window. I saw his wife on the phone, and what did she... They pulled away.
Yep.
He goes, nope, I gotta go. They pulled away. What happened, Sister Amen?
Sent the police over.
Called the police on me, and the police said, he said you were yelling and screaming at him and running at his vehicle. I said, ma'am, I was standing by his door, looking in the window at him, talking to him.
Yeah.
And then that turned into another witnessing situation.
I was just going to say, that was another one, and then another one after that, so the whole thing...
I won't go into this one, but two Baptist homosexuals came up and were trying to tell the police officers, oh, they're okay, leave them alone. And then I ended up witnessing to them, and they got mad, and that didn't go well either. But
and then I can't remember, but there was another one. Some other guy saw that going on. And so it's like, look
Baptist,
at the chain of reaction just from reaching out, you know.
Baptist homosexuals, their pastor didn't really have the nerve to tell them it was wrong, or they were still hanging out. They're out doing ministry as homosexuals.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I talked to the police, and they said, oh, you're fine. I said, I didn't do anything wrong, officer. I said, they lied. And yeah, all these weird and strange witnessing experiences we have. But you know what? If we thought hard, Sister Amen, for every single weird one or dangerous one we have with the police, we have one probably where we reach a 12-year-old young man that wants a Bible. We
or reach endeared ones, you know, where it's somebody of what you would consider the society would call the low life set. Yep. They're homeless. Like so thankful.
Yeah. So yeah, we
talking. Yeah.
You tend to focus on the more, you know, sensational ones.
I just thought
ones.
It was interesting. Yeah, to share some of the unusual things.
Maybe
yeah.
next time, maybe on next audio, we'll do some of the more heartwarming.
Yeah,
witnessing
like that.
We come
yeah.
up with. So yeah, but yeah, we have all kinds of experiences out here, and well, just this weekend, we preached at three small events, and they called the police on me at two of them. And we were totally legal and peaceful. So it's just what we have to deal with. And the police always get the gospel. And we get to remain. And we get to stand. It's just the dark, evil age we're listening in. You ready? You want to hear the hypocrisy. The police show up and hassle the street preacher that's preaching Jesus Christ in the streets. And sometimes I get threatened to be arrested for no reason. And what's on the back of their police car, Sister Amen?
In God we trust.
In God we trust. They'll haul me away in a police car that says, in God we trust. I don't know if I need to say anything else about that.
End times are coming.
The foolishness of man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, Sister Amen, today?
I have a scripture verse.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Share it with us.
Psalm 34:18. I like this, and I want to talk about one of the words real quick. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And I'll just stop right there and say, we've seen that in us and many people.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then this part. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And I was looking up contrite, and I love the description. Crushed and destruction.
Yeah.
So if we're that way, we don't have no pride.
Yeah.
Or at least it's crushed and destroyed right out of us.
Yeah, I think of grapes. Grapes are so awesome and beautiful, but in order to make wine, what do you got to do?
You got to press them and destroy them, kind of, you know, shred them and get all that juice
out. Or like the
out.
Corn seed that goes in the ground, it has to die and be destroyed before it pops into new life.
Right.
So that's what we have to do.
Yeah, amen.
God can't use us until we do that.
No, I don't want anything of me in me. I want it all of him.
That's a good scripture verse right there. I just have one to share real short, Matthew 5:37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So our Lord told us, just watch what we say. Do what you say. Say what you mean what you say. And don't have a bunch of loose words. Don't have a bunch of words that are meaningless. Don't have a bunch of words that you're not ready to back up, live by, follow. So be careful of that. He said we'll be judged by every word that comes out of the mouth.
Right.
Idle. Every idle word that comes out of the mouth.
Yeah, so. And if we use our words like money, we'd be real careful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the way we should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
so,
a good one.
Yeah, I guess we're going to leave right there. We got to go get ready. We're going to gather with the saints and go to the Word. And we just got a lot of stuff to get ready for what's coming up. If the Lord gives us
right.
The next month, we'll be headed down the road south. And I'm lining up events as we work our way through Tennessee, Georgia, wherever else we're going, to head down to our preaching destination down in probably Florida this year. I'm thinking to preach the gospel all over to those 28 million people down there with events everywhere on every single weekend, practically every Saturday and Sunday. There's events all over down there.
They're all over, yeah.
That's why we go there.
Pick and choose from
the location.
And
the parks are full of people, and the streets are full of people. And
the parking lots.
Parking lots.
People in and out.
See, because that's another thing people have to remember. When we go down there, we're not going down there to sit on the beach and suntan. We don't do that stuff.
We don't even go there.
We're not going down there to vacation. But what? Everyone else is down there to vacation.
Yeah, so we're there to
So it's winter everywhere else, and people head to Florida for vacation. That's why we go there, because there's a lot of people out and about that aren't working, that are out there doing their entertainment. They're on vacation. That's why we go.
Yep.
Yeah, so
yeah,
we love that. Yeah, we love it.
It's
so.
A privilege to have the truth to be able to share.
Amen. Anything else, Sister Amen?
Love to the saints. I'm thankful for every one of you, and those of you who aren't a saint, we're here to encourage you.
You better repent and get going in the gospel. We're here to help you. Check it out at don'tperish.com.
Yeah.
Don't lose this life.
No, because it's not our life.
I should say, don't lose the chance at eternal life. Definitely you lose this life in your flesh.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But don't leave here before you've lost your life for Christ. That's what I meant to say.
Amen. Lay it down and pick up your stake and follow after him.
Amen. Amen. Last thought I have for you. I just thought of this word today. I don't know why. Seek Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. What a glorious promise. God with us.
With us, not against us, yep. Not far away.
And in the Holy Spirit in us.
That's amazing.
Amen. All right, we love you all.
All right, love you, saints.
Strive forth. God be praised.